Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. I love it when our next guest is here. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host, and Scott Wieman's here. And Scott's doing, some of the greatest work in the apostolates of the Catholic Church right now. Really important. He's the founder of a very, very important apostolate, and helping many people use the sacraments and the treasures of the Catholic Church in their recovery from addiction and obsession and afflictions of all kinds. And you're welcome to call. If listen, you don't have to be Catholic, you don't have to be Christian, you don't have to be, Scott's here to help. If you've got questions about addiction and recovery, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Scott is the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. He's the founder of Catholic in Recovery, and he's got a new book we'll talk about momentarily. First of all, Scott Wieman, welcome.
Yeah, pleasure to be with you, Cy.
It's always great.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, very well. And it's always great when you're here because we get to have conversations of a different kind than usual. And I always, there's always somebody that finds help when you're here. So thanks for being here with us, Scott.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
How's everything going at Catholic in Recovery? Maybe I should just let you give the pitch to start with. What is Catholic in Recovery and how is it going?
Well, I was waiting for you to drop the name. You said, you know, great, great apostolate doing great work.
I know, and then I didn't say it.
A little while to say Catholic in Recovery.
Sorry.
And just appreciate the opportunity to you know, get on for an hour, answer some questions, take some calls, and share hope and healing related to addiction and recovery, and let people recognize you're not alone. You know, if you're struggling with an addiction, a compulsion, an unhealthy attachment, I don't really care what you call it. Sometimes people appreciate that compulsion or unhealthy attachment maybe summarizes what it is that they're struggling with a little bit better than the term addiction, but you know, that might be related. Lust, pornography, food, gambling, internet and technology, codependency, you name it. The family impact of addiction, how to navigate a loved one's addiction, whether that be a spouse's or a child's or a parent's or whatever the familiar relationship might be. If you're listening today and that's you and you can relate to some of the stuff that we're discussing, you're not alone. And yeah, Catholic in Recovery, we're continuing to grow. Wonderful opportunities to create. We've got about 200 active in-person and virtual Catholic in Recovery meetings around the U.S. and Canada and into Mexico as well. Starting to get into some in-person meetings in Europe in the next few months.
Wonderful.
Just accompanying people through the journey of recovery. Retreats. We started a podcast. Father Sean Kilcawley and I have a podcast. You can find the Catholic in Recovery podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And Father Sean is a treasure of wisdom as it relates to the sacramental life of the church and 12-step recovery. So we're staying very busy, enjoying life here, and you know, also enjoying the fruits of my own personal recovery, time with
Praise
family,
God.
Friends, you know, yeah. Freedom to love and serve the Lord. It's all good.
888-318-7884 is the number here if you'd like to talk with Scott Wieman. 888-318-7884. So if you were able to grow Catholic in Recovery to be in every community where there are problems with addiction and these kind of things, how big would it be? How much of the world would that cover? Just curious.
Pretty much all of it. I don't know that there's
I know there's
not a ton of square footage on this earth where people exist and addictions or compulsions don't accompany them.
So 200 meetings in person and online now, and people can get the tools. Like if they're like, you know what, we need this where I am. We need this in my parish. They can get the tools at CatholicInRecovery.com.
Yes. On our homepage, if you go to support and serve, there's an option, start a meeting or get a new meeting started. Just fill out a simple form and we'll get in touch with you about accompanying you, supporting you to get a Catholic in Recovery group started in your community, your parish, or elsewhere in the community. Or if you have an inkling to start a virtual meeting, we're here to support that as well. And, you know, that all the way from, you know, it takes some of the, I guess, requirements to getting a new group started is having your own personal recovery experience, at least 6 months of sobriety, abstinence, clean time, however you might define that per your program, and experience within the church and balancing the 12 steps with that. And yeah, I'm happy to walk you through the process of finding some others in your community to start a launch team, having a conversation with your pastor or parish leader. And then you're really creating a fellowship within your community to bring light to others who are struggling in the darkness of addiction.
Scott Wieman, our guest, we'd love to talk with you about addiction, recovery, healing, all of that. Again, you don't have to worry about what your background is, what your religious affiliation is. Scott's here to help. 888-318-7884. You know, I want to give you a little advice. You wrote the book on the 12 steps and the sacraments. I think you should do something on the rosary and addiction. You should do something that brings the rosary in. What do you think?
That is a fantastic idea, Si.
I have them, man. They just hit me, and they're good when they come.
Yeah. Tell me more.
I know you already have this book. Please, please tell us about the new book on the rosary and addiction.
Yeah, so just published about a month and a half ago with Ave Maria Press, The Recovery Rosary, Meditations for Those Impacted by Addictions, Compulsions, and Unhealthy Attachments, and is really an important, a very valuable resource for those in recovery, seeking recovery, family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, who are also in need of their own recovery as well. And we, you know, within the book, it's a little primer on how to pray the rosary. If it's been a little while since you've had a connection with the rosary, or are renewing or beginning a new relationship with Jesus through Mary via the rosary, some helpful ways to get started on that, and then reflections on all 20 mysteries of the rosary, and wonderful collection written by contributors, volunteers, part of who are members of the Catholic in Recovery community around the world, who have varying degrees of, different types of addictions, family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, offer reflections, a little bit of some either religious text or scripture that then begins, that launches into some reflection questions, the individual's personal testimony. What I love about this book is just the raw, honest approach to the rosary. You know, I think sometimes we can maybe over-intellectualize our, our relationship with Mary and some of the experiences with the mysteries, but this puts it into very practical terms, human terms, and something that you can relate to as a reader. And then, some reflection questions, great for use, individual use to accompany your own rosary devotion, or can also be a wonderful way to pray the rosary in a group. I began praying the rosary, really learned how to pray the rosary in a group setting. And for me, as I was early in my recovery and coming back to the church, that was really instrumental in breaking, breaking down the barriers to entry for me, praying the rosary and doing so with other people was a great way for me to be introduced.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about addiction, recovery, and healing from a Catholic perspective, but anybody can call. Scott Wieman is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. You can find that at catholicinrecovery.org. I've made that mistake before. Or you can just call Scott right here, 888-318-7884. I want to ask you a question because a couple things came together in my mind as you were talking about the rosary. Because to me, the rosary is associated with peace. Like I feel like when my wife and I began daily prayer of the rosary, peace came to our home in a way that it hadn't, came to our hearts in a way that it hadn't. I associate that with peace. Then I associate this this new pope we have, Pope Leo. I don't know if you heard about that, but we have a new pope.
Yeah.
Oh, you had heard about this.
Praise God.
Boy, you are on top of things, Scott Wieman. He comes out and his first words are, peace be with you, which this seems to me like this is a theme that I hope that he's going to just build and build on, because the world is just so robbed of peace. It's just so bereft of peace. And is that part of the healing of the rosary and why you wanted to do rosary and addiction? You wanted to put those things together?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Really a way to bring the beauty and the peace and the Yeah, I would think the serenity, you know, is a term that we're often using in recovery right. as well. I think there's a great serenity that accompanies the rosary and the repetition, the meditative repetition that the rosary offers is such a great part of our solution as people in recovery from addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, where perhaps we're used to wanting what we want and wanting it immediately, wanting it now. And so there is, you know, as we kind of surrender into the rhythm of the rosary and that the repetitive nature of it, I think that's just such a great antidote for the immediate needs that we might have or think that we have, and can really be a way to, you know, provide that, you know, in step 11 of the 12 steps is, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And so there's a kind of a simplicity within that invitation to pray for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out. And I think that the rosary, especially as we look to Mary's example of dealing through hardships or the joys of her experience on earth with Jesus being the mother of God, can be a great resource to accompany us through that and find perhaps some new peace and new freedom as we're either getting started on our recovery or perhaps we've been in recovery for some time, active in our faith for some time, but looking for a way to blend and integrate our faith with our 12-step recovery rather than feeling like we need to take our Catholic hat off before we go into a recovery meeting or take our recovery hat off before we come into the church. You know, we can kind of live in that very integrated space where we're just fully ourselves, fully in recovery and Catholic, and not having to really separate those two very valuable and fundamental parts of our lives.
Scott Wieman is our guest. We're going to get to callers when we come back. So if you're on the line, hang on the line. If you haven't called yet, there are lines open still, 888-318-7884. One of the things that Scott's visits always remind me of when Scott is here is that Jesus is a healer, and he loves to heal people. And if you're yourself in need of some healing or a family member is in the area of addiction and recovery and all of that kind of thing, give us a call, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest. The book we talk about a lot with Scott, or we mention a lot when Scott's here, is The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, a wonderful book for anybody in recovery, attempting recovery. I don't know all the correct language, but you know. They've got the Catholic in Recovery workbook over at CatholicInRecovery.com. And now, say the name again, the Recovery Rosary.
The Recovery Rosary.
The Recovery Rosary. That's exciting. Check it out at, you can check it out at Ave Maria Press, or you can check it out at CatholicInRecovery.com. All right. Lines are starting to fill up. There's still two lines open. If you'd like to get your question in or have a conversation with Scott, 888-318-7884. But we'll start with Teresa in Ohio. Teresa, thank you for the call. Go ahead with the question.
Hi. I just turned in kind of late, I guess. I was at a meeting. Anyway, I was wondering if the resources you were talking about are available in Spanish or other languages. That's my first question.
Oh, you got all right. We got a list of questions. Oh, Teresa.
I got a list of questions.
All right, let's get question number one answered. Okay. Available en español?
Some. We have some resources available. We have some meetings in Spanish. And so we have meeting materials that have been adapted or translated into Spanish. We actually are just launching a Catholic in Recovery group in Cancun, Mexico here very soon. And they are helping to translate the team there, active four people with recovery in alcohol, recovering alcoholics and people with Al-Anon experience. And so they're adapting our meeting reflections in Spanish. And so we do have some resources in Spanish. Unfortunately, not yet our books, the Catholic in Recovery Workbook or the 12 Steps and the Sacraments or this, the Recovery Rosary. But I am regularly pushing our publisher and the team to create those in Spanish and recognizing the need, especially, you know, the wide, vast need of recovery. And so it's only a matter of time before our resources are adapted into many other languages. But I do understand the necessity and the urgency and value of being able to do recovery in one's primary language is so helpful.
Okay, Teresa?
Yeah.
All right, next question. All right, here we go.
If we already have like AA meetings at our church, do they transition into this or do we just, is this an addition, this program addition to that, or how does that work?
That's a great question. I love hearing that question. So we don't claim to be a substitute for AA, NA, SA, Al-Anon, OA. I could go on and on. There are anonymous 12-step groups for all sorts of different conditions, but rather supplemental to. And I see Catholic in Recovery as a bridge between the church and 12-step recovery groups and vice versa, providing a place where those who are in the church seeking recovery and perhaps looking to the church first to get a foundation for recovery built, and then also for those who have been in recovery for some time, have experienced the miracle of their higher power working in their life and looking for a deeper relationship with that higher power, perhaps returning to the church of their youth or, you know, of the past, or coming to the Catholic Church for the first time. So we see people on all sides of that equation, people who are in recovery, coming back to the church, in the church, starting their recovery, in both, and looking for a place to blend their recovery and their faith. Parishes that are already hosting AA meetings, Al-Anon meetings, OA meetings, SA meetings, other types of recovery meetings, I think are great partners and a great place to get this started, where they see the value of creating space in the community for recovery fellowship. And yeah, people can attend one type of meeting a couple days a week and another meeting, a Catholic in Recovery meeting, you know, once a week as well, and find that they're the parallel nature of our recovery, of 12-step recovery in the life of the Catholic Church.
Teresa, I don't know how long the list is. Is there a question three?
There is one more question.
All right.
What about Al-Anon groups or, you know, family members or whatever use these same materials, or are there other materials for them?
Teresa, are you a plant?
Yes.
This is what
the normal person who's walked the walk.
These are the exact questions that Scott wants asked. All right, go ahead, Scott, with your answer for Teresa.
Yeah, these are really great clarifying questions. So you're spot on, and it sounds like you've got some wonderful recovery experience yourself and would love to connect outside of this. You can go to catholicinrecovery.com, click on support and serve, go to start a new meeting, and fill out that form. We'll get in touch with you. But yes, we do have meeting types. We have various meeting types. Some of them are general recovery meetings, bringing together people with a variety of different types of addiction. Others and family members are welcome in those meetings as well, kind of like an open meeting. We have some addiction-specific meetings for people with alcoholism or drug addiction, lust addiction, food-related addictions, internet and technology addiction, gambling addiction. And then we also have meetings for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, much like an Al-Anon, using some Al-Anon-type principles. Each week, we reflect upon a reflection that ties together either the daily Mass readings or the Sunday Mass readings and adapt it into really reflecting upon the overlap between 12-step principles and kind of the essence of our liturgy that week. And so we adapt those meeting reflections for different types of meetings. And I have several family members who are active in Al-Anon or finding their way to Al-Anon via Catholic in Recovery. We also have adult children of dysfunctional homes or adult children of alcoholics meetings. Some subtle nuanced differences between Al-Anon and ACA type of principles. So yes, we have a variety of meetings available.
Teresa, what a great call. Thank you so much for that. Now all the lines are full, so on we go. Frank's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on 1570 AM. Glad to have you here. Frank, go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Don't say Glenn. I start talking, you may hate me. I'm Scott. I'd like to have a question, but it's more of a comment. I want to thank my friend Captain Lou, who never gave up on me when I gave up myself because I couldn't get sober for a long time.
Beautiful.
I want to tell you, your listening audience, what worked for me after a long time. Captain Lou gave it to me. You ready, guys? You ready for the secret recipe?
Let's hear your secret recipe to recovery, Frank.
What worked for me after, like, I said 20, more like 30 years or 25, I forget. Go to mass every day. Exercise every day. Go to meetings every day. And listen to Catholic radio when you're home or in your car. And those four things. And that's what happened. And all of a sudden, boom, I got sober.
Wow. What do you think, Scott?
Before?
Scott, praise God. Yeah, I think that's I'm so happy to hear that, Frank. And yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing about the people who never give up on us. And I think that's one of the greatest things that you're going to find in a recovery fellowship or meeting is that you're going to find people there who are saying, keep coming back. You know, allow us to love you until you can love yourself. And you're not alone. And, you know, we totally get it. It was a man who, after not my first meeting, but really my first time back to a meeting in October of 2011, darted across the room after we closed with the Lord's Prayer, looked me in the eyes and said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. And that man really pursued me and was very eager to share recovery with me. And, you know, Frank, I think you're encapsulating if we pursue our recovery with half the zeal that we would pursue our addictive behavior or substance, we're going to be just fine. So that sounds like a great recipe. You know, as it was shared with me, you know, five daily habits that we can participate in that are going to make it, you know, make our likelihood of recovery greater is wake up in the morning, ask God to keep you sober, free, abstinent, clean, balanced, however you define your recovery. Second, go to a meeting. You know, it's encouraged 90 meetings in 90 days, but also the things that get us sober are the same things that keep us sober. Third, connect with other people outside of the meeting, making phone calls to people maybe who have a little bit more time and a bit less time than we do. Four, read recovery literature and or scripture. Listening to Catholic radio might be a decent substitute for that, especially if it's Catholic Answers Live.
Amen.
And then five, thank God for keeping us sober at night. And in fact, you know, Michael, the man who really imparted a lot of this wisdom on me, he would say, you know, Scott, why don't you at the end of the night toss your keys in your wallet underneath your bed? That way in the morning when you're going down there to get them, you're on your knees, you might as well say a few prayers anyways. And, you know, in this very humble and desperate disposition and posture.
Frank, I am so appreciative of your call. Thank you. Did that all make sense to you?
Well, just yes, but I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
The doctors don't agree with me. They say it's a genetic problem. As a result of my heavy drinking over a period of decades, I got a lot of mental problems. I'm pretty much confined in the house right now. Do you know any Catholic naturopathic / holistic doctor in the Philadelphia area could maybe help me? Do you know any in the area?
Do you, Scott?
I am not too familiar with the available doctors in the Philadelphia area.
Doctors, holistic doctor, the regular doctors tell me it's nothing to do with your drinking. I don't agree with that. I drank a lot and killed my body.
Oh.
And I'm trying to find it myself, and I need to find a holistic doctor, a naturopathic doctor. Not the one you go to CVS Pharmacy. I mean, tell me what kind of herbs to take and that kind of stuff and make my body better. I'm sober now, 5 years and 2 months. But, I mean, my organs, my body are just beat. I drank heavily for a long time.
Yeah. Chris, you might find, go to mycatholicdoctor.com. Might be a good resource for you. We've partnered with them, and I know that they do really good work and look for a holistic solution that doesn't just segregate our mind, body, and soul, or the biological, emotional, mental, and spiritual parts of our condition, but really sees in the full integrity of the whole person. So mycatholicdoctor.com.
Frank, what a wonderful call. Thank you very much for that call. But on I go. Again, I'm looking at full lines here. Let's go to Joseph in Washington. Joseph, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Thank you. So I'm calling because my wife and I have a young son that we believe has a drinking problem, and he won't admit it. And I don't think it's helping that we're telling them he has a drinking problem, but I want to get him some help, and I don't know where to turn to. I pray the rosary. Mm-hmm. My wife prays the rosary. We pray for him. We're devoted, you know, to the Lord, but we're just lost right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to empathize, Joseph, just how challenging it can be to watch someone that we love, particularly a child, struggle with any kind of addiction, whether it's a substance use addiction, food, pornography, lust, gambling, whatever it might be. It's just, you know, really hard and troubling to know how to navigate that. And so, yeah, thank you for calling. You're not alone. I'm sure there are many others who are listening and who might even, you know, call in who are struggling with a loved one's addiction. I'm curious, Joseph, do you think your son thinks that he has a problem with alcohol?
No, he says he has it under control, that we're too concerned about it. But what is concerning is that he comes home from work and he's drinking by himself. He goes out mm-hmm. later on in the evening, says he's going to go get gas, but he comes back with another six-pack or whatever. And it's every day. Just this morning, my wife and I were talking about how we can talk to him when he's sober, but we're finding it hard to find that moment.
Joseph, hang on. We have to take a very quick break. We're going to continue the conversation with Scott Wieman on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Deepen your connection to the Church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the Church Fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the Church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. And I want to get right back to the phones because Joseph in Washington is on the line with a question about his son, who seems to be drinking too much. But Scott, I will turn that conversation back over to you.
Yeah, I was asking a couple of questions. And Joseph, I'm curious, you know, kind of what I'm getting at is like, what would need to happen in order for your son to realize that there was a problem? Like, is there perhaps a natural consequence of his behavior that might need to take place in order for him to, like, really be awoken to the fact that something needs to change here?
Well, here's our biggest fear, that if he's driving intoxicated, the fact that he might cause an accident and, even worse, hurt himself or hurt somebody else because of his drinking. Or get into an accident at work. I believe that he is constantly drinking, and that's what our biggest concern is that, yeah. that he doesn't realize it, but until something big happens, and then what?
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, you know, I would suggest that this is, it's, again, you are powerless over alcoholism, much like he is, and he may not be able to see it. In fact, the way that he views it is likely that, you know, perhaps alcohol is his problem, but also alcohol is his solution. And so he's in this, you know, this death cycle, spiritual death cycle of addiction, where, and also I'm sure it's accompanied by a ton of shame as well. You know, this belief, the core belief that's been developed that I'm unlovable, and if people really knew me, they would reject me. And so, therefore, I need to find something that can meet my needs. And so, alcohol has been the substance that he's been seeking in order to meet his needs and find relief. Of course, that has great consequences. That leads to other emotional and mental challenges, really pulls us from what our responsibilities are. And unless he realizes the natural consequences of his behavior, there's likely, you know, the likelihood of him saying, "Yeah, you're right, Dad, I think I do have a problem," might not, you know, he's going to just fight you on that. Now, I understand, you know, we have, especially, you know, family members can turn toward fear and use fear to rationalize a lot of maybe things that may not be beneficial for you or him, but can be, you know, lead us to resentment and challenges, and making it difficult to even have a strong relationship with God, and coming to believe perhaps like no one else gets where I'm at. So I would encourage you to, and your wife, to find some Al-Anon meetings like we referred to with a previous caller, or even Catholic in Recovery. We have family and friends recovery meetings, virtual meetings on Wednesday and Friday. You can find them in different areas of the country as well. And you can find Al-Anon meetings all over the place all the time. And this is going to help you to navigate, recognize perhaps what it is that you can change, what you can't change. Even the Serenity Prayer, the very first part of the Serenity Prayer, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And, you know, the things that we can change is our own attitudes and behaviors. That might mean that if, you know, you believe that he's got a problem and you think that he's putting people in danger, then, but you can't really take away his keys, or you, perhaps you could, perhaps you can't. Just putting up some kind of boundaries, but learning how to do that in a way that is detaching with love, and, you know, being separate but hopeful still, and, you know, even perhaps some self-discovery. Those are some key components of family members' recovery. It's again, a challenge. You didn't cause this. You can't control it. It's not your responsibility for curing this. And I think it'll be very beneficial for you and your wife to find fellows, others who have been in your shoes, who have learned how to navigate a loved one's addiction. So Al-Anon, Catholic in Recovery, family and friends meetings or groups can be very helpful.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, okay, thank you. And I'm sorry. How do you spell Al-Anon so I can?
Yeah, that's Al-Anon. And it's really designed, you can even look up resources on their website, I think alanon.org, and find all sorts of really kind of some beginning understandings, come to see. And even educating yourself on alcoholism and addiction can be incredibly important and valuable as well. But you're going to learn from people who have been in exactly where you are, you know, how to best navigate this, maybe how to even let go in some ways, but letting go in a loving way that actually, as we let go, it gives our loved ones who are struggling with an addiction or alcoholism, gives them the opportunity to be empowered and perhaps recognize the need for help themselves.
I am going to leave it there. Joseph, thank you for that call. I do hope that was helpful to you. Our guest is Scott Wieman. We're talking about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective. He's the founder of Catholic in Recovery, a wonderful organization that you should find out about. Go to CatholicInRecovery.com to find out more. The number here, if you'd like to talk with Scott, is 888-318-7884. Grace is in Los Angeles, California. Grace, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. So, first of all, I really appreciate the Catholic resources that are out there now, because when I went through a relationship with an addict, there weren't a lot of Catholic resources at the time. At least in my research, I wasn't able to find them. But my question is about how often a connection between addiction and abuse exists. Because I was in a relationship where my husband developed a sex addiction, and I became aware of the addiction probably about 7 years we dealt with it together. He went into recovery programs. We were going to meetings. I myself for codependency or being in a relationship with a sex addict, and he was going to his meetings. And at some point, it turned abusive, and you know, not to where I was getting beaten or anything like that. It was more like I was being put at risk for diseases and that type of thing, since he was a serial adulterer. And I'm just wondering how often that's kind of the pattern, that someone in an addiction, because they are being enabled by the relationship or for whatever reason, they become somewhat abusive, like with complete disregard to what the impact of their actions is causing.
All right. Go ahead.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Grace, thank you for calling. Yeah, I'm so sorry that you've gone through that. And are going through that. You know, it's something that maybe if the abuse is over with and the, you know, relationship, maybe there's some distance there. This is still something that's, you know, really has a big impact in your life. In fact, 70 to 80% of betrayed partners in a relationship with sexual addiction, you know, the betrayed partner being the spouse, the husband or wife, show symptoms of PTSD. And, you know, so it's a great trauma. And there is, you know, almost those PTSD symptoms of not being able to trust, you know, avoiding emotions, avoiding people, places, or situations that might trigger some memories. And it's very common, too, to internalize negative cognitions, like I'm not enough, or, you know, I'm unlovable, or I'm not smart. I should have seen this coming, or, you know, there's no... And all those are lies. Those are really all lies that create division and are probably implanted by, I would say, the father of lies. And so, what you've done, you know, to connect with other people in fellowship, Al-Anon is much like Al-Anon, but for people with sexual addiction or the loved ones of people with sexual addiction, to learn how to navigate through and cope with a loved one's sexual addiction. And to answer your question, yeah, I think that there is certainly a correlation between addiction and all sorts of abuse, whether it's physical abuse or emotional, spiritual abuse. Yeah, I think that addiction really is at the root cause of a lot of our Catholic social concerns, including, you know, homelessness, poverty, abortion, violence, marital separation, marital problems, and discord. And, you know, with that kind of repeated consumption of whether it's a substance or media that is portraying, you know, maybe even normalizing sexual abuse or physical abuse, there's, you know, all sorts of different reasons why that could be the case. And so, yes, I think you're spot on. It's not to excuse anything. You know, the person who is abusive or has betrayed is still responsible for their actions. It's not to let anyone off the hook at all. And I think it's really necessary for you to create whatever distance needs to be created in order for you to maintain safety of yourself, and also recognize that there might be some lingering effects, like PTSD-like effects of your experience, and to not minimize that and seek whatever kind of therapeutic or, perhaps it's a fellowship type of care that can be very helpful. Of course, also, you know, being encountering the truth through our loving Father, through Scripture, through the sacraments, can also be a really powerful part of the solution for you. I'm so sorry to hear what you're going through, Grace.
Thank you so much for that. Yes, the PTSD part was something that was kind of new to me at the time. You know, like it was difficult for me to, you know, really understand that it was that big a deal. And once I could step back from it, I realize, yeah, it absolutely is a part of the healing process. Yes, thank you so much.
Well, yeah, I'll refer just one quick referral for someone, anyone who's been impacted by betrayal trauma, a loved one's sexual addiction, and the challenge that can be to overcome. Humanintimacy.com. Dr. Kevin Skinner has done a lot of research and is really leading the charge on the support for people who have been betrayed by sexual addiction. That's humanintimacy.com. Strongly encourage looking up Dr. Kevin Skinner's resources. That might be helpful.
All right, that takes us to the break. Thank you very much for the call. We will get right back and take more calls for Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Father Dwight Longenecker. Why do you need to go to confession? Well, it's easy, to receive forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. But more importantly than that, one of the beauties of confession is that when we go to confession, we take responsibility for ourselves. Our world is besieged by those who feel entitled and want to blame others and expect others to do everything for them. When we go to confession, by God's help, we're saying, it's my job, it's my responsibility, I'm going to get on and do what I can to change myself and change the world with God's help.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul street evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you at the beginning it was going to be an extra good Monday show, and I wasn't wrong, was I? An extra good Monday show today. Scott Wieman, our guest this hour, he's the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, a title I never tire of saying. And right, Scott? I'm really good at saying that title.
Yeah, excellent. Been my greatest promoter.
All right. It did take me probably 10 years to get the title right. And the way I do it now is I just put the book in front of me, and I always wanted to put the word seven in there. I don't know what that was about, but I couldn't stop doing it. But now I know it's the 12 Steps in the Sacrament. He's got the new book, and it's the Recovery Rosary. You can get that also at Ave Maria Press, probably anywhere you get your good Catholic books. But you can also go to CatholicInRecovery.com. Lots of folks on the line still, so back we go to the phones. Let's go to Gabe in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Gabe. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Cy, and hi. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing, Scott. I'm a longtime recovery person, like 40 years.
Congratulations.
I wanted to ask about something specific. There's a lot of, I'd say, spiritual abuse and New Age-ism going on. And as an early recovering person from alcoholism, I fell into a lot of New Age stuff, although I was very not completely buying into it, but I did it all. Through nuns, I became a kahuna, Reiki master, all this stuff. I mean, you name it. I have an endless curiosity, but my question is, how can we safeguard and help people who are in the throes of this? And I have a very dear friend who's Catholic, and she's very much into, basically it's Hindu practice, and she was doing like readings, and I told her that's actually witchcraft, and she got upset. But these types of things are addictions unto themselves. And then on the other side of the spectrum, I have a dear friend who I'm coaching through the 12 steps, and she grew up in monstrous circumstances where spiritual abuse occurred, and literally she was like brainwashed like a prisoner of war, like no different. Mm-hmm. And I too have recovering from CPTSD and a number of other things, and by the grace of God, and I pray the rosary regularly. So I just, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But I'm just wondering, how can maybe we get this part in there, because there's a whole lot of bad theology out there. There's a lot of things that people fall prey to, and they actually, in the throes of recovering, they come into these addictions that are of a spiritual nature.
All right. Mm-hmm. Scott?
Yeah, so let me synthesize. I think I'm understanding, if it's just to make sure I'm understanding correctly. I believe, you know, what you're saying is that, you know, in recovery communities, secular 12-step recovery communities, recovering from a variety of different types of addiction within those rooms, which are spiritual, you know, spiritual in that they, you know, are all descendants of Alcoholics Anonymous, which the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the essence of that program describes the absolute necessary, the necessity to build a relationship with the power greater than ourselves. That's put pretty broadly, but in the text, it also refers to really religious practices that can be, that can benefit us. It doesn't take a stance per se on like one religious denomination or the other. And as our culture has become much more secularized in the 90 years since the beginning of 12-step recovery groups, as have you know, those meetings. And so it's not uncommon to hear people describe themselves as spiritual but not religious, or you know, you might even from time to time hear someone describe themselves as a recovering Catholic, as if it's a condition that needs to be recovered from. And that is not that does not broadly at all depict the intention or the really the essence of 12-step recovery groups, which are, you know, speak and say pretty blatantly that we would learn from, we can benefit from the religious practices, and Catholics invariably become better Catholics through participation in AA and 12-step groups. And so, you know, those, I don't think that we can really be immune, especially in secular spaces such as 12-step recovery groups, from this kind of new age theology, if you will. And, you know, I don't think that correcting people in the midst of their share, you know, or being the one who's like the person to correct everybody is really the way to go about it. I think that certainly being in those rooms and being able to share freely about the joys that we found and the freedom that we found from by leaning into our faith while also practicing important recovery principles is the greatest light that we can shine. And, you know, it's attraction rather than promotion, as we say here in 12-step recovery groups. And so if we can be really a ray of light to the world, you know, and sharing about how, and we don't have to filter, we don't necessarily have to filter in describing our relationship with God or our love for Christ or our devotions to our faith. You know, there might be maybe some subtle hints that we shouldn't be doing those of that in recovery groups, but I think, you know, just share freely. Father Sean Kilcally, priest from Lincoln, Nebraska, who's wonderful at describing and speaking on these topics, him and I recently recorded a podcast that talks about exactly this topic. You know, the Catholic in Recovery podcast, a resource that you might find helpful, you know, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even on YouTube. And we explore the various ways that we can really carry our faith with authenticity while not, you know, not shying away from it in secular 12-step groups, but also being respectful of perhaps the traditions and still wanting to create a space of unity within groups where someone may have some new age theology or some new age ideas to share. But we can't be fearful of that. And certainly I think our presence in recovery meetings as Catholics to share about the beauty, truth, and goodness of our faith is so necessary and so important.
I'm going to leave that there. Thank you, Gabe, very much for the call and for the question. I want to get now to Robert in Des Moines, Iowa. Robert, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Hi, Robert.
I spoke to you a couple years ago, Si, and I never forget hearing you daily on the radio, the empathy you showed me and the kindness. Okay. And it just came through over the phone, and it was just a super thing. But Scott, I just I'm just turned 70 two Saturdays ago, last Saturday, on the 19th of April. Since I've been 39, I've been on methadone. We're having a little thunderstorm here. You may hear it. I just can't get, you know, I've talked to experts in this field, and priests and so on and so forth will tell me that, no, you aren't, buying it off the street or something like that. You're getting on prescription and all this sort of thing, so it's not a sin. But no one's going to convince it, me, and maybe I am the expert using my conscience, that it is a sin, because certainly God doesn't want us every day taking a very huge dose of methadone, 80 milligrams a month. Not that big. But, you know, I just can't. Is it a sin? What do you say?
I appreciate you sharing your – yeah, thank you. Really, Robert, thank you for sharing your story. And you're not alone as well. So I've heard this – you know, this. I had received this question several times. So methadone or Suboxone is another prescription medication that can be helpful for people who have struggled with an opioid addiction, which has a great, you know, great strength and power to it, and not in a good way. And so, you know, getting off of that can be really challenging and actually almost deadly sometimes for our bodies. And so these, you know, methadone or Suboxone can really quell the craving that we might have. It might have, you know, it's not nearly as strong as an opioid might be. You know, just a little bit of background for those who are unfamiliar with this. And so even methadone clinics are places where people can go and get a, you know, daily or a regular injection or prescription received to cure or kind of find, you know, the symptoms of that very heavy obsession or craving can go away. Now, you know, some will ask themselves, am I really sober if I'm still relying upon some kind of a medication? And I, you know, if you're doing things by your doctor's directions and orders, I don't think that it's sinful. I'm not also not one that's probably not certainly is outside of my spiritual jurisdiction and also medical jurisdiction. So anytime you're thinking about, you know, getting off Suboxone or methadone, certainly must do it with the help and the guidance of a doctor, of your medical doctor. And so would probably seek them first if they have, you know, if you could do that in conjunction with talking to a priest about it, perhaps a priest who's got some experience with methadone and Suboxone. That would probably be the first person that I would go to. But I just want to push back against your instinct to think that this is sinful. You know, if you're taking prescribed medication based on your doctor's orders, not abusing that in any way, then I don't, you know, just on the surface, I wouldn't say that was sinful. But again, that's outside of my jurisdiction to say, certainly.
What do you think, Robert?
Well, you know, I can find quicker doctors here in town. They'll write me a script for morphine. You know, is that a sin?
Well, yeah, I think that certainly manipulating the system to get something being dishonest or deceitful about it probably does imply some sinfulness, some disconnect from God. But, you know, if you're truly surrendered to live in the light of Christ, then that doesn't necessarily mean that you're, you know, sinning by engaging. But I'm also, you know, that's a conclusion that you'll need to come to yourself. And, you know, talking to other people, I think, you know, calling in, having this conversation can be a really important part of that as well. But I think that's something that you, a spiritual director, and someone who's got a little bit, perhaps a priest, spiritual director, coming to those conclusions together or coming to that conclusion yourself, I would strongly suggest it.
Okay, Robert?
Okay, I greatly appreciate you guys, man. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks very much for the call. Our guest is Scott Wieman. The new book is called The Recovery Rosary. Tell us again about The Recovery Rosary. This is we've talked about the 12 steps and the sacraments for a long time, but tell us again about The Recovery Rosary.
I'll also make a plug for the Catholic in Recovery workbook, which is a guide, sacramental guide through the 12 steps of recovery, integrating wisdom from saints, scripture, the sacraments and such. And the Recovery Rosary, meditations for those impacted by addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, will guide you into a deeper or a renewed relationship with Jesus through Mary, with a very intentional reflections and meditations on each mystery of the Rosary. And so I think learning from those who have been through various experiences in recovery, probably many that you can relate to yourself, makes the Rosary really come to life and accessible. And, you know, with some real-world examples and just inspiration, encouragement, and come to a deeper understanding. And I think, you know, even reading through it, as I pray the Rosary, either in a group setting or, you know, individually now, I feel like, you know, having read through the reflections and meditations brings a new life to each mystery for me. And think, yeah, I haven't thought of it that way. And here's how I can apply my experience in a similar way, maybe slightly different, but, you know, really bringing surrender, making surrender happen.
Hey, Scott Wieman is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, and I think it's one of the great things happening in the Catholic Church today, all over the church. And Scott and I have discussed this on the air before. All around the world, people are rediscovering Christ as a healer, and that the among the three main things the church has been given to do, healing is one of those. And this is a beautiful ministry of healing. If it's something that would fit into your life, check out CatholicInRecovery.com. Maybe you can find out how you can provide it where you are, or at least get it going where you are. But they also have online things that you can do. Scott Wieman, thanks. I always enjoy the time with you.
My pleasure. A privilege to join you today, Si.
All right. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.